लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। बिहाइंड द सीन्स, oh yes, exclusive insights, absolutely, eccentric characters, you bet. So pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals, and now let's talk. Ready, set,
action.
Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today with an actor, I really hoped that he wouldn't join, and he did, gladly. For me, he's one of the actors who should be more in the spotlight, more in the lead roles, because he's always the second. I have the feeling like this. But today he's the one and only in this podcast. So hello to Declan Clifford. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you. I'm great. I'm great after that glowing introduction.
There's
no main characters to push me out today.
No, you are the one and only for me today and for
exactly.
The audience. So you in the spotlight.
I need to do this with you every day, be in the spotlight every day.
It's better for your feeling and for your... Yeah, I understand. So you can talk openly whatever you want to say, because there's no one disrupting.
Exactly. It's only the listeners. I can spill all the gossip.
Yeah, it's... Now we can wash a little laundry, dirty laundry.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
Let's
good.
Air it
that's
out.
Good. No. Yeah, maybe. A little bit.
Maybe. We'll see.
But we are open, honest, and not sugarcoating here. I love kind and honest words. But question, did you ever do a lead? No?
Yes, I have done. I did one for a show called Pool Boy, which is on Real Shore.
I haven't seen yet. Don't spoil.
That was that was Real Short's first LGBT vertical, and I led that with Sky Kawhi. But yeah, that was in May this year.
I just purchased today another Real Short Ripley membership, so I will watch it the next day. So
it's your sign to watch Pool Boy. Let me know what you think.
I do. But that was the first.
But typically I tend to play a lot of like the major supporting characters. So you know, either I'm creating drama or I'm there as the best friend or the other love interest, which is really fun. They're still really great characters, and I've always enjoyed the characters I've played. So I've been very, very lucky.
But to be honest, isn't it sometimes a little bit only to be the second, not the lead?
It depends. If the character's got a really interesting arc and storyline, and I think that's where I've been blessed with the characters that I've got to play, that each of them have had more often than not an interesting storyline. Sometimes with the villains, you're more there as a facilitator of drama. But, you know, with shows like Lycan King or Scrubs Heartbeat, that I've done, those characters had their own individual arcs. So that's quite fulfilling to me, because even if you go on as a supporting character, they're not supporting in your mind. They're your whole world. And you create and construct a world around them so that they don't feel like just a mouthpiece or a supporting character. They're going in with their own agenda. Because otherwise the whole show is going to fall flat if you're going in without a fully fleshed out person and character. So I guess it's an interesting thing. I never really thought about it, because I feel like the show is made up of all these characters. So it's not something I really thought about. And in, you know, traditional film and TV and other projects, I've sort of moved around and lead, supporting, whatever, and they're all just the characters to you, and you've just got to find the character you connect with. I think verticals themselves are in a kind of specific format right now, where the leading male characters are a specific archetype as well.
Yeah.
And so for people who sometimes don't fit into that archetype, they go into the different sorts of characters. And I certainly feel my energy, I'm more of a goofy, bubbly kind of energy that sometimes doesn't sit as well with that particular archetype at the moment. But who knows where verticals are going, you know?
I'm sure there will be a great improvement. And I hope, as you said, the goofy one, I spoke to Adam Chisnell these mm-hmm. days.
Oh, yes.
And we are trying to get a comedy parody vertical.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said he loves to be this goofy kind of type. And
great.
You know, and I spoke with another one about how funny it would be to make a parody of a vertical. You know what I mean? So when you make a parody out of someone who wants to slap, Stand there, I want to slap you now. And you make a fun out of this typical shitty vertical story.
I love it. My partner and I often wake up in the morning, and like we're talking about doing like a skit series on verticals, because we'll wake up in the morning and we'll look at each other and go, you're not the CEO, and then go. Like just because he does verticals too, so we just know all the tropes.
He does verticals too? Okay. So yeah. No one of you is the hidden billionaire or something like that?
No, but I have a binder of my favorite things I've said in verticals, like just, and it's so fun to just call them out. Like if you're a villain, you get to say the most ridiculous stuff.
Do you like playing the villain?
I've played some really good villains that I loved playing. Some of my favorites, I did a show called Fated to Miss with Kira. I think you're on at the other panel, but with Kira Wisely. And that was a really fun villain because the villain had really complex motives. Mm-hmm. Same with Scrubs Heartbeat as well. That was like an interesting twist on a villain to play. I did one just recently where the character was a bit morally ambiguous and the director gave me the freedom to explore both the good sides of the character and the more manipulative sides of the character. For me, the kind of vertical where it's slap, 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 yeah. You're not the billionaire. I don't find those personally as fulfilling to play. I have had some fun.
It's also not fulfilling to watch.
Yes, exactly.
And then even like, a banquet scene in it and a kidnaping and a stepmom and a stepsister and don't forget the billionaire.
Yes, for sure. So those ones not as much. Like the first couple of times I did it, it was fun and outrageous, but I like to have something to connect to with the character because then I feel like we can create something elevated.
How do you prepare for your roles, especially villains? Playing maybe some kind of psychopath. I hope you're mm-hmm. not a psychopath in real life. So you have to prepare. Who knows?
So to play the psychopaths, I just think about myself.
You can be your truly personality. Okay. Huh.
For me, a big part of it is when I get the character break. Like the character breakdown usually gives you some information. And then when you read the script, you kind of get a feel of who this person is and the way they see the world. So, like, I kind of think about my characters in, like, archetypes. So sometimes I think about the hopeless romantic. Sometimes I think about the little trickster and jokester. Sometimes I think about them being like I'll kind of classify them in my mind. Are they cunning? Are they really goofy? Are they really naive? And that helps me build the character up. And I get that information from the script. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes the script, you can make additional choices as well. So, for example, with one you might know, Unwanted Truemate, that character, which was with Cayman,
Sorry, I'm not so good in all these titles.
No, you're so good. that character was kind of written pretty just down the bat. There was kind of nothing added to it. So I decided that I was going to really up the naive factor of that character and make him a bit cute and hopeless and try and add some comedy in where I could. So, but whereas
the director
other characters,
was open to that?
Exactly. Okay. So sometimes they'll be really open to your interpretation. And then other characters, like I did a character for Good Short, Perfect Landing Into Your Arms. I played the best friend character. And the comedy of him was very baked into the script. So in terms of preparation, that's kind of already there. And then I always like to, particularly because I'm transferring an accent onto it as well, mm-hmm. that allows me to have some fun modulating my voice as well. Okay. So if the character, for example, in Pool Boy, Aiden, I played like a young guy mm-hmm. having his first love. So he was very nervous and everything was up here and he was kind of speaking in this register because it was all nervy and it was up here. Whereas other characters, you can drop down into the diaphragm and they're more confident. It's more grounded. Like mm-hmm. I just did a slightly more, as I said, ambiguous character. So everything was reserved and I kept very poker face because I thought he wouldn't show too much in his face. Whereas other characters, I can be really expressive and I can be up here and it's fun, it's high energy. So that's how I think about their vocal quality. I think about their mannerisms. I think about their walk. I think about how they relate to the world, and that's how I prepare. Sorry, that was a very long answer.
No, is there so much time to get prepared?
There's not.
I was thinking.
There's usually about a week before you get the script. Sometimes it might be two if you're lucky, but usually it's a week. So it's a very quick process of like read the script, make decisions about how you want this to be, get the lines and the body and show up to set and be ready with that.
And when you start filming, we say 7 days, are you mm-hmm. 7 days totally in this character then from midnight till midnight, or are you only on set in this character and you can switch to the private Declan when you're getting home?
I totally switch to the private Declan when I'm home, and you know, obviously in between takes and the one thing I will do though on set is I always stay in my American accent, because for me it's so hard to switch from mm-hmm. an Australian accent to an American accent. So yeah. I'll always just stay in that on set. But when I come home, I'll speak normally. And, yeah.
Is it easy to switch to the private Declan because of this long days on set? And when you come home, you have to learn text maybe for the next day. So you haven't finished when you come home. So
yeah, I think it's important to like have a ritual where you finish and you finish your day and then you come back to yourself in the drive home and have some time to yourself. You're right. It is pretty quick turnaround because we do like 12-hour days. So by the time that we finish, get home, have something to eat, go to bed, you're kind of up and at it the next day. Like they're intense shooting periods, but sometimes you might get a week or two in between projects.
Okay.
So it's more in the in-between that you can kind of reset a bit more with the verticals.
How easy is it when you finish a project to get out of this character and put it back and start a new one if they are totally different?
It's hard, especially if you really fall in love with the character and you think, mm-hmm. gosh, I'd love to keep playing that character. You know, I've been very blessed that I've had some characters I've absolutely adored playing, and it's really sad when you have to say goodbye to
them. Which one, for example?
Aiden in Pool Boy, for sure. That was
okay. I have to watch it. I see. I have to watch it.
that's probably because it's the character that, like, he was a reflection of my childhood dreams.
Okay.
So that whole show and role was like a dream come true, mm-hmm. and not to mention it was like the character who had shared the most similar life experiences to me.
Okay.
So it was kind of a cathartic experience for me. And there've been a couple of really, really great ones as well that, you know, it's always hard to say goodbye, but Yeah, it's the belly of the beast, or the nature of the beast with verticals, because we do move so quickly. But I like that they get to live on, and I like when a vertical does, get recognition and is liked, because it means that character's living on through the
Yeah.
viewer's eyes. So that's nice. It's still there, and they're still kind of part of you as well. So that's kind of sweet, because I actually did theatre a lot before I came to LA.
Okay.
And with theatre, as the performance and the character only exists for the people seeing it for that
Yeah,
night.
I know. I played a lot of theater and I love
Really?
that. Be yeah, because
Yeah.
you have the direct connection to the audience.
Absolutely.
And
It's
every
that electricity.
evening it was so difficult. On the evening before, the audience laughed on a totally other part than on the next evening, and you thought, "Eh?
Yeah. What's
It's the
going on?
same. It's the same like yesterday, but huh?" And
Yeah.
they're so different, and you can get the feedback so quickly.
Yep.
And I like
Yep.
that. I really
There's
like
a
that.
bond. There's an amazing meshing that happens. But you would know that those characters that you portrayed in that show, they don't live on beyond the text now. That your performance in that was only there for that time, which is
You
kind of
know, I
amazing.
started in kindergarten because of my black hairs. I was always the villain. You
Really?
know? Yeah. It started in Sleeping Beauty, the
Yeah.
villain witch.
You were
Yeah.
Maleficent.
I was always the villain. I never was a nice one.
Wow.
But
Villains
it's
are just
okay.
misunderstood heroes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when you are the villain, nobody expects anything good from you, so it's fine. For me,
Exactly.
it's totally
Exactly.
fine. I can live with that. My dad always
Amazing.
tell me, I have two black dogs. And my dad always said, you know, Michaela, in your life, everything is black. Your dogs, your hair, your soul. So what?
Yes,
I
exactly.
can live with that. Totally fine. But sometimes, you know, I think for you, it's good you're not pigeonholed as a villain or as only the shy guy. You're a good mix-up in your roles. Because
I'm
I
very
think
lucky.
some actresses or some actors are pigeonholed, always the villain, always the good-looking CEO. No one would believe a villain type. So I think it's more flexible in your kind of role.
Yeah, I'm lucky that it's been like quarter this, quarter that, quarter that, and that's fun for me, because I get to switch
Do
and
you have
change.
role models in acting?
Oh, of course, absolutely. So many. I think a big role model has always been Kate Winslet, as you can see
Oh,
here. Titanic
yes.
is my, because I just love not only her skill as a performer, but also just the way she talks about the world and things like body image and insecurity. I appreciate her openness and frankness for advice to young actors as well. So, yeah, incredible, incredible role model from Kate, I think,
How
that
often
you
did you
have.
watch Titanic?
Incalculable. I've watched that movie. I
Me
don't know how
too.
many times. I
Me
wish I
too.
had a really. It's just incredible. It's my favorite movie of all
When
time.
it came out, I was on a school excursion in Paris, and there was a great cinema in Paris. A bit, you know, I
Wow.
live here on a landscape with a really
Yeah.
whole small cinema at that time, not great sound system and something like that. And we were at Paris at this time when this movie came out, and we went in
Yeah.
Paris to a cinema, and it was the first cinema with a really great Dolby surround system, and
Oh, wow.
we sat in there, and I had the feeling I sank with the Titanic because it was
Yeah.
so great on this big, big wall to see, and it was nearly, you know, 180, and everywhere you looked, it was the ship, and it was all water. And
Oh my
it was
gosh.
so, for this movie, it was the best cinema ever. I
Yeah, the
watched it
best way to see
in
it.
the cinema when I came back here. I watched it again here in the cinema.
No, not the same experience.
Definitely no.
Yeah,
But in
that's a
the
movie that's meant to be
cinema
seen
in
in the
Paris,
cinema.
that was perfect for this kind of movie. And I don't know how often I watched it when it came out on the VHS cassette.
so good.
Oh, yes.
So good.
So
I
great.
Love that you had that experience. That's the way it's meant to be.
Yeah, you know, it's my birthday when the Titanic sank.
Really? April 12th?
No, it sank on the 14th. It sank.
14th. That's when it
hit the iceberg on the 12th. Yes. It totally sank on the 14th.
There
and
you go.
Totally exactly on the same day, but only 60 years before I was born, my granddad died. So this date is really remarkable. So
this date is something is in this date.
The Titanic. But, you know, nothing good happened on that day. Titanic sank, my granddad died. So we will see. Yeah, I'm a kind of special one.
You're breaking the bad luck.
I'm breaking the curse, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Except maybe with your villain hair, maybe not.
I don't have a problem with that. We in Germany, we have a nice saying. It means something like, if your saying is bad, you can do whatever you want. So in kind of that meaning. And yeah, that's really... It's really in that kind. No, I think, you know, playing the villain, doesn't matter if it's a vertical, horizontal, or theater, I think it's more challenging. If you are normal life, a nice person, which I assume that we are nice persons in normal life, I think it's more challenging. Because
definitely.
Even if it's kind of psychopath role or when you have to imagine how a psychopath treats people by speaking kind of way of speaking and manipulate people with kind of words that's really challenging.
Yeah, you have to tap into parts of yourself, I think, that are very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, more so, I guess, for traditional film and TV, but still with verticals, I think you have to tap into like insecurity, and you have to tap into jealousy.
Yeah.
And because that's, you know, that's why people do act that way. And it is difficult to connect with those parts of yourself, because there's the part of you that's still on that knows what you're doing is awful.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is awful. But you kind of have to go from that place of like, because of this internal thing that does feel kind of corrupt.
Yeah, absolutely. But what kind of role you would like to play? Because it's very special, challenging. Would you like to play the Joker of Batman? Because that's kind of a real great villain role.
Oh, interesting. I think before that, I mean, my dream roles have always been centered in like fantasy series.
Okay.
I love anything fantasy related. So if we're talking like probably like, yeah, something with a fantasy element, whether that's an elf or, you know,
really? Like Peter Pan or what?
Like we're talking Lord of the Rings, like, you know, Legolas, like all those.
To be honest, I have never seen Lord of the Rings.
Neither
Game of Thrones.
See, okay, so those are my dream roles. Just because fantasy is so immersive, and that's what I personally love watching as an audience.
Okay.
So that's my dream role. The costumes, the heightened, you know, the magic, like all that stuff is so fun, because it's essentially, it takes acting back to its base roots, which is imagination and play. And I think sometimes it's so much easier to play in a fantasy setting than in a grounded real world setting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's high on the list for me of dream roles.
Do you think that's possible in a vertical?
I think it is. I think we've done some...
Like the mermaid one or what?
Yeah, there have been a few that have had those elements. And I think they will explore that more. I think for the vertical companies, the period pieces are more expensive. But the first ever vertical I did, my personal Lion King, was very heavy on the fantasy. Mm-hmm. More so, it didn't have traditional vertical tropes in it.
Okay.
It's almost like it's not a vertical really, actually. So it's quite remarkable, the script. High fantasy, witches, wolves, vampires, and but centered around a love story, of course, but there's multiple love stories happening. You know, there's us three guys fighting over her, but there's magic and she's actually a witch. It was great. It was high fantasy and I loved it. There were fireballs. Obsessed.
Did you watch the whole vertical after finishing?
I did watch it. When it came out, I did watch it. Yeah. Because that was my first. So I was like, what is this going to be like? You know? So I did watch it. I was impressed. I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I often hear that normally they all don't watch the
I don't watch them anymore, just because of like time, and you know there's so many different apps that you work for subscribing.
I know, don't tell me about the different apps. I'm with 49 on my handies at the moment.
What?
Yeah,
49 apps.
Yes,
there are 49.
I know a lot of people with even more on their handies. But for me, at the moment, I'm with 49 because I have the feeling every time a new show drops, it drops on a new platform at the moment.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Popping up.
Yeah, and crazy. Right at the moment, it's 49. But I talked to some fans on WordFest. They are nearly 80 apps. Yeah.
Wow.
No one is thinking about the audience because... if you have to purchase coins or a membership on every, you're bankrupt.
How do you find the shows that you want to watch on the specific apps? How do you know what you want to watch?
I started vertical watching in 2023. So really at the beginning with a classic one. So many saw The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband with Jared Hopper. And I don't know the name of me. It was great marketing of Real Short because it was in so many ads on Facebook and Instagram. And every time you see a different kind of episode of it. Mm-hmm. And I tried to resist 2 months because I was always saying, no, I'm not willing to pay to see this short version and short episodes. I'm not willing to pay any cent to see it. But every day... there was shown up another advertising for exactly this vertical. And then the end, I was at some point, oh, bullshit, I want to know how it ends. And then...
they got you.
As I said, great marketing. And I talked to so many people who trapped the same way like I did. And
that is hilarious.
It was breaking the ice or... The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband. Some of this was their first verticals. And the thing was, at this time, I was in a hospital with no TV. So you were a morbid victim because you're bored. And then I downloaded the Real Short app. And I purchased a weekly membership, but it cost €25.
Okay.
A weekly membership. But at this time, it was great because I watched, except the Asian ones. I don't watch the Asian ones where the origin language is Chinese. Because I don't like to watch it with subtitles, you know?
Titles, yes.
And so I watched all the originals in 3 days, which were released until then on the Real Short app.
That's great.
And then I got fixed. And
then you're hooked.
Yeah, absolutely. And
damn,
then the thing
Jared
is,
Harper.
Yeah, when you see the advertising and you watch them once, you get advertising every time there is a new show out.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and they still keep following me.
There is something addictive about them. I mean, clearly there's for them to be making as many as they are, clearly there's a people are watching and there's a fan base.
Yeah, but there are so many dropping out. I have the feeling that every 2 days are dropping 5, 6, 7 new shows.
Yeah.
At the moment?
Yep, absolutely. There's so many. I mean, from the actor perspective, there's so many that we're auditioning for. So it's
how many in average per week?
Oh, per week? I'm gonna say on average there's probably 30 new shows advertised per week to audition for.
Really?
I would say, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
So around about 50 per month?
I would say it's more like 120. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Hold on. I'm going to say probably 15 new ones advertised a week for us to, from, you know, this is publicly
okay,
available.
Okay, so 60 roundabout per month.
I'd say, yeah. I'd say so. Yep.
And how often you got booked normally?
I've done 32 verticals since I moved here.
And when did
here.
You do your first one?
I did my first one September 2023, but that was back in Australia. And just had the one advertised over there. And then I moved over in April, and that's when there was just so many being advertised basically every day.
Why did you move to LA? Because of the verticals? And because of increasing your acting, or what was the plan?
Yeah, more not specifically for verticals, more for Hollywood, I guess.
okay, the dream fabric, Hollywood.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So, you know, verticals have been amazing, but there's also a lot of other opportunities here in traditional media as well. So, yeah.
Is it easy for you as an Australian to get into the traditional?
Not with like the, in terms of moving here, that was like an extensive process with the green card and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, the traditional, it's just the same as anything. Like it all comes down to, you know, getting in the room and giving the audition your best. Obviously it's a highly competitive field. There's a lot of people trying to do this, but you know, it's just something that brings you a lot of passion and purpose and joy. So you keep at it and you keep improving and you keep working on yourself and stay patient. You know, I don't think anything worth having is easy. So
yeah,
I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's a rewarding challenge, if that makes sense. Like it's a mountain to climb.
Are you a patient type?
I think I am patient. I think I'm like anyone, you know, sometimes I go, I want it now. I want the thing now. But I'm trying to release that at the moment and just have a bit of trust and just go inwards and go like, what can I do today? What can I work on today? What can I put out there that's good and aligned with the work I want to do? And I think when you operate from that, I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about before, but just you can never go wrong from creating something that's meaningful to you and working on something that fills your heart and makes you feel purposeful. Like you with your podcast and the information you're sharing, you know, that feels good to you. And maybe at the start of that process, you didn't know how that was all going to turn out.
Yeah.
But you're kind of led by that purpose and now look how it's taken off for you.
Yeah.
So I think the same thing. I think, you know, when I started my acting career, I had no idea if I was going to be successful, if I was going to be booked, if people were going to hire me. And you never have all that information, but you just work every day because it means something to you and try and detach from what the result is, I guess.
Do you only the auditioning, the private auditioning, or do you also go to open castings where you see your other people directly?
So no open castings. I understand they're more done for like musical theater.
Okay.
I'm not in that industry. So what usually happens is you do a private self-tape at home.
Yes.
And then for callbacks, sometimes you will run into people in the waiting room who are also being called back for that role.
Okay.
So, you know, that is when you might see someone who looks kind of very like he's a version of you. That's very bad. But at the initial first thing, no, you wouldn't, because you're just in your house with your self-tape equipment.
Is that more comfortable? Also for the mental health, you know? I'm just wondering if the pressure gets bigger when you see against whom you're competing, or
yes,
if you're doing only a self tape and you don't know how many others are doing this for this kind of role. And
yeah, well, I mean, it's an interesting point. I think you kind of touched on something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I think this is relevant to any industry, but particularly for acting. I think it is so important for actors, young actors, to develop good mindset tools and learn how to deal with those challenges of comparison, self-doubt, because ultimately that is going to make or break you in this industry, because the very fact of it is a numbers game. You will be rejected a lot. There will be people who will get the roles that you really want to play, and you have to keep going, and you have to know that that is not personal. You have to almost create a little mental bubble around yourself going into those environments. Sure, it's more pressure, but that's why it's so crucial to work on your mindset and go into those situations going, you know what? It doesn't matter if I do, like, of course it does matter, but the inner strength to go into that environment and go, you know what, I'm going to do my best, and that's all that matters. I'm going to judge myself on that. And if I don't get the role,
you have to let it go.
Bugger, but that's their role. And so, you know, it is more pressure going into those environments for sure, but that's why it's so essential, I think, for young actors to develop those coping skills and that strength. Because that is how people burn out, if they don't have that skill.
How do you keep your work-life balance when you have very stressful days? What keeps you calming down?
I think, like, having a good, like, filling your life with as many things as you enjoy as possible outside of your filming schedule. So, like we spoke about before, you know, the days themselves are long. So having a quick routine at the end of the day where you, I don't know, just like showering off the day and just washing it off and putting away the phone and lighting
great dinner.
Candle. Like a candle, a great dinner, that just simple things like that. I'm all about simplicity. Going for a walk. I'm you know, I'm as addicted to my phone as anyone else, but I'm trying to create more barriers with my phone as well to get a good night's sleep and all of that stuff. But then I think when you have your days off, you know, you said before about how do you come back to yourself from the character, like just investing in good friendships. I'm blessed in LA. There's good hikes and beaches, so I like
and
doing
good
that.
Weather.
And good weather.
Mostly
books.
Of the time.
all that stuff to sort of come back to yourself and reset and remind yourself of all the other things that are enjoyable about your life. Because I don't know if any of the other actors you've had on have touched on this, but acting is like the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. And you might relate to this from your performances as well, because sometimes nothing feels as amazing as when you're a character on set that you love playing, and it's, you know, this incredible story, and sometimes you might be in tears, sometimes you might be so in love, sometimes you might be having the most exquisite moment, and then sometimes then you go back to your life and you've got to do the laundry
so
and
normal.
Unpack the dishwasher.
It's so
normal.
And
so it feels very, very jarring. So yeah, it's
yeah. I have my dogs, you know. They
exactly.
I have to go out. I have to go in the forest.
Yeah.
I try not to be on the phone while I'm walking with my dogs. Fresh air. Even today, it's really shitty raining here. You have to go out, but it kind of keeps me down. So there's strict breaks, which are needed because my dogs want to go out. And that was one reason why I got my first dog 15 years ago. No, 20 years ago. I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. But the dog told me, listen, you have to keep more calm more and calm down. And I said, I'm a studied informatics, business informatics. and the first few days, where I was not allowed to work, and I normally worked 60 to 80 hours per week. And the first 2 days, I was totally, I don't know what to do. I cannot do anything or nothing. I was so bored. I was so nervous at the same time, because I don't know what to do with this free time.
Yes.
And that was so hilarious.
Your body's so used to work, yeah, work,
absolutely.
Work, go, go, go.
To be like electrified. What's next? What should I do? Mm-hmm. And this moment, no one was caring about me, what I'm doing. No one has to say, Mihaela, I need this ASAP. Please do this now. No one.
Yeah.
I was totally free in the whole hours of the day. And I was so unexpected, bored. Yeah. I was so uncomfortable, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I felt useless doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shock to the body for sure.
Absolutely.
Massive shock. Have you sort of evened out now, do you feel, with the balance?
Yeah. You know, now with the dogs, it's a break of the other side. You know, first time it was nice doing nothing then, because it was like holidays, you know, you can do all the stuff you want to do for so long and didn't have the time. But when this list is finished, you were okay. So, what can I do now? And now I'm gardening, I'm harvesting, I'm writing books.
Great.
So I choose other ways, you know, which needs my action, but not every day in a specific way. If I don't want to, I write not on Monday or on Tuesday, I write on my book on Wednesday when I'm fine with it and I'm open to it, because I don't feel this kind of pressure like I felt earlier. So I tried new things out, other things, totally other things. For example, when I was in this IT project, I never cook. I was really bad in cooking. Yeah. And after that, I have a lot of time. I started trying cooking, and I'm now in this position. I published a cookbook, and I was invited from a few 2-star Michelin chefs to cook for them in the TV shows. So I cooked in different type of TV shows for chef cooks. Yeah, for chefs.
That's incredible.
So, you know, so that was a thing I never expected. When you have told me that a few years ago, I was, I'm cooking for some, never, ever.
No.
So, you know, it was a kind of a new challenge, a different challenge, a life challenge. But now I'm thinking, okay, I can try it. What can I lose? You know, I loved to try some new kind of recipes or tastes, and if it didn't taste good, what happened?
Exactly.
It was for the trash, but mostly it tastes really well. And so you keep improving and you keep trying and going on. And so now I'm doing totally different things. But it's kind of satisfying in another way than the other things were. So
Exactly. You found your new balance.
Yeah. A different balance. But and you know, it's kind of funny sometimes, because it's with my cookbook. When I cooked a lot in the TV shows, I got asked, oh, where did you get this recipe? And I said, I don't know this recipe from anywhere else. I did it myself. Oh, can you please write it down? And I said, no, I'm more like the freestyle cook. You know, like my grandmother was. You know, grandmothers always said, you take a little bit of this, take a little bit of that, and then it works. So, and I'm really now kind of this freestyle cook. And I love this creating and trying some, maybe sometimes sounding silly recipes or kind of taste combination, but if you try it, it tastes really great in the end in this new kind of combination. And there are a lot of people, you can't do that. And I say, why not? If it tastes bad, happens. But
exactly.
Come on, that's not the end of the world if it doesn't taste good. And so,
good metaphor.
Because of that, I tried and tried. And for me, the best thing ever was in my first TV show, I cooked. I won prize money. And from this prize money, I bought my older dog. So my older dog is the award from my first winning cook show ever in TV. And the judge was a 2-star chef, really critical type. And I was watching his show before I was invited and did kind of analytics, you know, what does he like, what's not. So, and he was the type of a lot of handmade, like pasta handmade and something like that. He wants to see the love to baking and cooking. And 15 minutes before the show, you got the ingredients you have to cook with. And then you have to get three type menu for the chef. And I tried something totally, it sounded so silly, but I had the feeling that this would taste great. And the first thing was, when I was in this TV show, I was thinking, oh shit, if he says that's the worst thing I've ever ate, that should be really embarrassing for me. Because I knew there were a lot of people watching the show. And I cooked, and I think, and the best thing ever in my life, he said, when he ate my dessert, he said it was the best dessert he ever had in his life. And I was oh God, wow. I felt like an Oscar winning actor. You know what I mean?
Incredible. Yes.
And the great thing is I recorded the show and I can watch it on every bad day.
No, exactly.
I can replay it.
Positive evidence.
What else do I need? Hello? He said, yes, exactly. I created the best desert ever. So come on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mic drop, you know? Think what you want. He told this about. No, and that was some kind of new experience I never had before, because in this old job, it was all about the money. It was all about the time in the project. You know, you was you was not so special. You were not so special. Mm-hmm. You have to do your job. And when I got sick, they kicked me out so fast. I cannot imagine ever. No, thank you. Never, ever for what I did in my job. What, you cannot go on this next project? Sorry, but you're useless for us. Bam, out. Wow. Yeah. And that was kind of really shocking for me. So, and I swore, never ever so ungrateful, unthankful person in my life. And that's why I changed a bit. And, you know, I'm more satisfied with the small things in life now. I don't know. Not raining when I have to walk with my dog, or a rainbow while I'm walking or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for me and for my mental health more, a lot of more healthy than the other way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely understand that.
So I can understand when I have a lot of old colleagues still working in this hard job. And when you see them getting more and more burned out because there are no work-life balance or something like that.
Yes.
It's hard. It's really hard. And I think a lot of these vertical actors, when you're going from project to project to project, maybe 2 days between and then the next one, where is there the time to do kind of work-life balance when you're 12? Hours on set, then you have, I don't know, 2 hours to learn the text for the next day. And
absolutely,
I think that's hard,
finding that balance. Definitely.
Is it easy to keep good friendships in this sort of day?
It's an interesting thing. I think when you move to a new country and you don't know anyone. I didn't have any friendships over here. So you're sort of starting from scratch. And I think, you know, it can take time as an adult to form real meaningful friendships.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm a big believer that sometimes all you need is one or two good friends. I've been very lucky to meet to meet them over here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like anything. You got to invest in it. You got to water it and water the garden, so to speak. But I think, you know, on these sets, you're meeting a lot of people, you're meeting a lot of actors, but just by nature of the fact, as you kind of highlighted on, everyone's so busy, everyone's moving from set to set, it can be harder to form deeper friendships.
Yeah.
But I've been very lucky with a few great people that I met on set that I have formed really good friendships with. And yeah, it's been nice because now I have some friends here, but I didn't at the start. I knew no
also one, so. Actors, is it better to keep also actors as friends because
sometimes
they understand how busy your day can be?
Exactly, precisely. Yeah, I think particularly if you can if you're doing verticals and you make a friend with another vertical actor, because they know, you know, other friends not in the vertical industry, when that you cancel on them last minute,
yeah,
because you're like, oh, I booked a job, so
what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What? Yeah, exactly.
did you ever regret moving from Australia?
No, I don't regret it at all. I think everything in life is an adventure, and you got to just treat it as an adventure. And you know, in some ways, it's not permanent.
Yeah,
you know, I could go back at any time, really. But I'm here, you know, adventuring, and so I don't think there's anything to be lost from trying something out and doing your best. But of course, there's things I miss about it. Like I miss my family, and you know, sometimes the pace of life and the cleanliness.
How long
of
is
the city.
A flight from LA to Australia?
14 to 15 hours, depending on where you're going.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if we want to come over to Germany, it's equally long to come over.
No. Come on, no.
Germany to LA, isn't that like 12 hours or something?
No, 9 maximum.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, what?
It's nearly about the time difference we have.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Because
yeah,
from
14,
I,
15.
No, because I know from here to Atlanta, for example, because a good friend of mine lives near Atlanta, or in Alabama, but she always flies from here to Atlanta. She flies 5.5 hours.
Okay. Wow.
And I watched how long it took will take, because just for fun, because of the Verticon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was round about 9 hours.
That's,
yeah.
That's achievable. That's great. That's achievable. Maybe you'll be in LA.
Yeah. No, I was really think about it, but to be honest, at the moment, my older dog is 13 and a half years old, and he's kind of dementia, and so I don't want to leave him alone.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
when he have to sleep somewhere else. My younger dog, he's only 7 months.
Yes.
He's
yeah,
so carefree, and yeah, I love all the people, totally
yeah,
fine. So I'm sure he won't miss me. But my older one is not as
yeah,
long he's here. But I would love to go maybe to New York or LA.
Yeah.
Or visit my friend in Alabama.
Yeah.
Maybe to go all three. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Australia is too far away. Forget that.
Have you ever been in Europe?
Yes. I've been to Germany.
What?
But I have been to Europe. I'm sorry, I haven't been to Germany yet. It's next on my bucket list. I promise.
Yeah, Germany is nice. I love Germany.
Yeah.
I live in the
yeah,
south. I have 1 hour mm-hmm, to Switzerland, 1 hour to Austria, 1 hour to Luxembourg, and one
wow,
and a half to France. So I'm totally
incredible.
Totally
I've
flexible.
Been to France and Austria. So Germany's next on the hit list.
Yeah. Absolutely. Try to get here in November because
okay,
of all the Christmas markets.
Christmas. Yeah.
The traditional
Europeans
Christmas markets.
Christmas. Mm.
The traditional Christmas markets are really nice.
Yes. I
yeah,
love. Yeah. You guys do Christmas the best.
Yeah. It's not so commercial like in the US.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And Australia, it's summer. So it's a completely different.
Yeah, sorry, but summer and Christmas, no.
No, it doesn't
no,
mix. It's weird.
We have here a lot of snow in December and January. So you know this cold feeling, this typical Christmas feeling. But sorry, summer, 30 degrees?
No, I know. I know. It doesn't, it shouldn't be legal.
No, you know, I like also the Christmas verticals, but I want to see more of them. There were not so many, but some of them are really unrealistic.
They should do them. It'd be so popular.
Kevin really did a nice Christmas vertical. I loved his.
He did. Yes. Yeah.
And he was doing it with snow. So that was kind of more realistic, you know. But when you see Christmas vertical where everyone is running in t-shirt and shorts.
What's going on? No, exactly. Forget it.
That's not the real Christmas feeling I want to have.
No, you want it cozy.
Yeah, you know, that's a good time now. Autumn and winter here in Germany, in my place. We have at the moment only 10 degrees and it's raining. It's really getting autumn and every leaves are falling down. And that's a time when you sit in your living room and you have your oven on with a fire and the fireplace and drink a cozy hot chocolate. Cozy. And then you can watch a vertical. That's the best time to watch verticals, autumn and winter. Because in summer, I haven't watched many because I was a lot outside. And so, but now it's getting this vertical cozy, you know.
The cozy vibes. Great. Well, we're going to create some great verticals for you.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. I have the 5-question quickie for the end.
Okay.
I ask everyone the 5-question quickie, the same.
Okay.
Before we ending. So.
Great.
What's your favorite dish? I want to know for everyone's favorite dish.
Like food?
Yeah.
My favorite dish. I'm going to say pasta. Pasta. I'm going
to
say.
So you have to go to Italy also.
Bologna. Yes. Yep.
To eat pasta. Real handmade pasta and pizza.
Yep. Definitely.
So bucket list, next point. But it's not so far from Germany. You can do it.
I've been to Italy. Love the pasta. That's why pasta. I'm a pasta fan.
Can you cook?
Not well. Not as well as you. No one's going to have my dessert and say it was the best dessert ever.
You haven't tried.
It's true. It's true.
Maybe you were in the cooking vertical?
Oh, maybe that's next.
You can get a bit experienced and then you can...
Yeah. And then I can try.
Yeah, why not?
I think I'd be voted off first.
Why?
I'm too clumsy.
You're not good with a knife?
No. I wouldn't trust me.
Well, that's bad. Okay. Okay. So you love to be spoiled with cooked meals?
I'm just very basic. Like, I can put stuff in the oven and I can put it in a pan. But the freestyle cooking you were talking about would probably end in disaster for me, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Nah, not everyone needs to cook good. It's okay. What's your favorite film? Near Titanic.
After Titanic?
Yeah, after Titanic. Film?
Yeah, after Titanic.
Nothing. I only love Titanic.
Only Titanic. Probably the Disney Pixar movie. I'm going to say The Matrix. The Matrix.
Oh, I haven't seen.
that's my second favorite, I think. And then closely by Lord of the Rings. Matrix, Lord of the Rings. I like Matrix because it's like a commentary on society and the way we live. Mm-hmm. But, and it also is an awesome action movie. But I love the deeper message of The Matrix as well.
Okay.
So those are my three, Titanic, Matrix, and Lord of the Rings.
Okay, I only saw one of this. Shit. What's your favorite song? What kind of music do you love?
My favorite song...
What puts you in a good mood? What can you turn loud and dance to your apartment and sing with it?
Well, it's different. So for dancing, I can always put on like... I mean, I have very eclectic music taste. I can go from rap to pop. At the moment, I really love Chappell Roan and Sabrina Carpenter. Like, I'm listening to them a lot and dancing a lot to them. But my all-time favorite, look, if I have to pick an all-time favorite artist in terms of person I've listened to the most, it's Taylor Swift. I'm a Swiftie.
I don't know why. Taylor Swift, she played a lot of concerts here in Germany, but
not your cup of tea.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay.
I kind of stuck in the 80s music sometimes.
Oh, 80s music is great.
You know, kind of like I love ABBA, for example, because ABBA songs put me always in a good mood.
Oh yeah, ABBA, great. And like I love Fleetwood Mac. I love some of the Beatles stuff for sure, like Madonna stuff. Oh yeah, I mean they're all
You know, 80s work every day kind of music.
To be honest, like if you're saying like a good classic that always puts you in a good mood, ABBA for sure, because you've got such a repertoire.
Every song of ABBA puts you in a good music.
Yeah.
And here in Germany, they are doing some ABBA shows now from town to town. It's like, it's not kind of musical. It's like, how do you call it? I once met the blonde one from ABBA, by the way. And at the concert, she was sitting behind me two rows back. I was, what? Okay. They did a tribute concert tour like that. But everyone who visits this concert has to clothing up like ABBA time. Yep. And so it's a big hippie party.
Hell yeah.
And it's advertised in the TV show every time. And I was so, I should go there because that's really fun. You see, all the people are dancing, you know, and it's such a big ABBA party. Only ABBA songs. Yeah, that would be great.
I want to go to that. I love it already.
Yeah, maybe I got weak. <We'll> see.
blonde wig out.
When someone asks you, Declan, which vertical of you I should definitely watch, what would it be?
Pool boy.
Okay,
pool boy.
That's on my bucket list now. That's on my bucket list now.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that one. That's my big one.
Okay, I will watch it.
I'm very lucky though. I've done a lot. Like I've loved so many. Like I loved Matrimony. I loved My Personal Life and King. I loved Perfect Landing. But I have to say Pool Boy.
Okay, I will watch it this evening. I see it. I see it.
Oh, you're sweet.
I see it. What kind of genre do you want to see more often in verticals? Last question, by the way.
What kind of story would I like to see more often in verticals?
Yeah. Or what kind of genre are you missing?
I feel like the verticals that I love are... I think I would just love for us to introduce the different types. Like we've really done a lot of the CEO, the hidden identity tropes. I would just love us to continue to explore new storytelling with verticals. You know, there's excellent scope for there to be different forms of romance, thrillers. There's no limit to what, you know, the stories could be. I'm obviously, my first big vertical was a queer vertical, so I would love to do another one of those. I'd love to see more different types within that subgenre as well. And I think in terms of, I would just love to see just really interesting different takes on the vertical storylines. I think that there's no reason we can't make them like little mini movie cliffhangers. I think it'd be really fun to start doing thrillers in the vertical, in the vertical, because it, you know.
Did you see the trailer for the pirate one?
No.
Yeah, you have to work with Nick Westaway in it.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be cool.
You have
that'd
to.
Be very cool.
I'll send you the link to the trailer of the pirate vertical.
Please. You're going to get me hooked in too.
With Nick Westaway in the lead and I don't know. He told.
Is he Australian?
Yeah, Nick Westaway is Australian, living in Vancouver. Yeah. Yes, yes. And he plays the lead in this one.
The Aussies.
We're on a big ship through. And pirate style. And
hell yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean style. I never thought I'd see that in a vertical, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's a trailer. They only produced, I think, the first 12 episodes, and now they are crowdfunding for the rest. something like that.
Amazing.
But the trailer is out since last week, I think. It is so totally new, totally different.
Yeah.
Really great.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's kind of new area, I think. Hopefully this vertical does very well, so that the production company said, we need more of that.
Yep, this is what we're going to do. You know, I think there's like a lot of great examples with actors in the vertical industry doing new things like Love and Blood and Campus Rivals. So it's exciting to see all those different, you know, people making different stuff.
We will see how it will goes. Thank you very much for your time, Declan.
Thank you for having me.
It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And hearing all about you, you've lived a million lives in one.
I really want to write a script. I should write a
you
script.
Should. Truly, truly. I want to interview you next time.
I was invited to write my biography. And I said, listen, I'm so young, I cannot write my biography. I felt too old
later.
For that. But they said, you had such an interesting life.
Yeah.
Maybe. But no, I'm doing my biography when I'm old and sitting in the chair and my life is gone. So, yeah, we will see. We will see. Yeah, next time we can switch the part.
Done.
If you hear anything about a woman in the German cooking area, maybe that's me. So
I'll have my people call your people.
And if you ever come to Germany, let me know.
I need the recommendations.
Then you can come and I will cook for you, okay?
Oh, for the best dessert in the world, I'm there.
Try it. You get more than a dessert. You even get a great
meal.
Big meal, yes.
All right, I'll come hungry.
You should. So thank you very much. Have a nice day, Declan. Bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.